And now, if you will, please, open your Bibles to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Our entire lesson is going to be a study of this passage. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these signs which you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it is going and where it is coming from. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" That's the reading of John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I want to begin by noting the fact that at the very end of this passage, Jesus stated that he expected Nicodemus to understand what he had said. The attitude that most people have toward the new birth, and this is an attitude that is fostered by the Protestant denominations, is that it is something beyond our understanding. I was listening to a preacher on radio many years ago, and he made the statement, "I don't understand the new birth." And then he proceeded to preach on the new birth. Well, I don't believe I would preach on a subject that I admitted I don't understand. I believe I understand the new birth, and therefore I believe I can preach on it. If Jesus expected a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish teacher, a Jewish ruler, to understand that which is explained for us in the New Testament, surely we ought to be able to understand what Jesus and his apostles explained for us in the New Testament. And Jesus expected Nicodemus to understand it. When he came to the end of the teaching, Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" After Jesus had explained it, he still did not understand how one can be born again. And Jesus plainly rebuked him. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" This is actually teaching that is very similar to things that are found in the book of Ezekiel. Spiritual things, a spiritual renewal. And if he were, and I'm sure he was familiar with the book of Ezekiel, he was a ruler of the Jews, he should have understood the things that Jesus was saying. But he did not understand them. Several years ago, when we were up in northern New York, Sandy and I had a study with the three army wives. Their husbands were deployed. There was one of the three army wives who kind of took the lead over the other two. And they had been going to her for a home Bible study. And when we requested the home Bible study with them, she agreed on this condition: if you are born again Christians. Well, I readily agreed to that. Because I tried to explain to them, I don't think to this day they understood what I said, and probably the same reason Nicodemus didn't understand, it was material thinking. I said, that's being redundant. Now, redundant means you say something twice. You repeat yourself. If you're a Christian, you have been born again. If you haven't been born again, you're not a Christian. It's just that simple. And so why say born again Christian? You're either both or you're neither. And so it is certainly an important subject. We must be born again. There's no way around it. Jesus made it very clear. He used the word must, not may, not maybe, not should. He used the word must three times in John chapter 3 in this one short passage, verses 1 through 10, concerning the new birth. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You won't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Then in John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You'll never enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. And then he said in John chapter 3 and verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must, not may, not should, you must be born again." It's an absolute necessity. You cannot be saved. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again, unless you're born of water and the Spirit. So let's see what the method and nature of the new birth are. Now, that's a question that I very carefully considered to be the question of the lesson, because that's what Jesus answers in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. He tells us the method and the nature of the new birth. Now, this man named Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus hit him with something that he obviously had never considered, which was shocking to him. Let's first consider the kind of man as far as what we know about Nicodemus. So, by the way, he turned out to be one who later was very good to the Lord. But at this time, now I don't know why he came to Jesus by night. It may have been he was afraid to come by day, but it doesn't say that. I don't know for sure. But it says there was a man of the Pharisees. Now we know something about this man by the fact he was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the strictest sect of the Jews, but Jesus rebuked them because they put their traditions above the law of God. So he was one that was very concerned by traditions, and they were very self-righteous people as a lot. Now, that doesn't mean every single last one of them were, but you remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican that were praying in the synagogue, and the Pharisee said, "Oh Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other men are." And so the Pharisees as a lot were very self-righteous people, and they had the attitude that by the very fact that, number one, they were descended from Abraham, number two, that they were descended from Israel or Jacob, and number three, that they were strict in their adherence to what they considered to be the law, and it was actually their traditions that heaped atop the law, but they were the strictest sect of the Jews. So their attitude was self-righteousness, and that they were looking for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Christ, and that when he, and of course they were looking for a material kingdom by and large, and that was the biggest problem that Jesus had with them other than their traditions. Was they're looking for a material rather than a spiritual kingdom, and a Christ who would be a conquering hero that rather than the Savior of the world of people from their sins. And they thought that by the very fact that they were Jewish, that they were strict in their adherence to what they thought was the law, their traditions, that when Christ came and established the kingdom, why, they would have an honored place in the kingdom of heaven. Why, one of them would be the mayor of Jerusalem. And one of them be the next to the master. And you know, like Peter and John, one on his right hand and one on his left hand when he came into the kingdom. And they thought that was the place they would have because they were so good. They were so righteous in their own eyes. Now, I don't know if Nicodemus was 100% that way, but Jesus did treat him in that way. He gave him a statement that was very shocking. He said, this man came to Jesus by night. Again, we don't know why he came by night. He said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God." Now, that's a good statement so far as it goes. It doesn't go far enough. Even the Muslims confess that Jesus is a teacher come from God. They just, and by the way, they'll also confess that he's the Christ. They just don't understand what the Christ is, and they don't believe he's the Son of God. And so his confession was okay as far as it went. It just didn't go far enough. It's not enough to believe that Jesus is a good teacher. It's not enough even to believe as a teacher come from God. We must believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was obviously an honest man to the extent that he realized that the signs, the miracles that Jesus was performing proved that he was a teacher come from God. And so from that standpoint, he was far more advanced spiritually than 99% of the Pharisees of that time. But to this man, Jesus made a shocking statement. Jesus replied to him in such a way that he grabbed his attention. And Nicodemus immediately, well, he did the very thing that Jesus wanted him to do. The statement in John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered it and said to him, and by the way, that is John's way of introducing an important statement. And then Jesus introduces his statement itself as an important statement. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, or verily, verily, as the old King James says, which means this is exactly the way it is. This is absolutely true. You cannot get around it. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, not only you're not going to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven by the very fact that you are a Pharisee of the Jews, you won't even see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Now that was a verbal slap in the face. It got his attention. I've used the illustration for years. I love the illustration. My grandmother, Mama Sharp, she was a character with a capital C. And she had some things that were strong convictions of hers, which had nothing to do with the Bible. But one of those things was that Halloween was for little kids. It was not for teenagers. And one Halloween, and she had an old house that had a screen door on the front that she could latch and keep people from coming in and still have the front door open. And it was Halloween evening, and some teenagers came around and said, "Trick or treat." And she went, she said, "Just a minute." And she went to the back of the house. Well, she had a bucket of water back there. And she came to that latched screen door, and she just tossed a bucket of water through that latched screen door. She says, "This time it's a trick, not a treat." Well, of course, now that she'd get her house burned out if she did something like that. But nonetheless, since her conviction was that Halloween's not for teenagers, it's for little kids. And she let them know, and she did something very shocking to them. It shocked me too. But of course, knowing Mama Sharp, it would be very shocking that she did it. But nonetheless, that's what Jesus verbally did to Nicodemus. He got his attention. He verbally slapped him in the face and said, "You won't even see the kingdom of God unless you're born again." Now that led Nicodemus to pose two questions. And Jesus answers those two questions. That's the reason I posed the question of the lesson the way that I did. Here's the two questions that Nicodemus posed. By the way, if you're a teacher, and I love this in Bible classes, when I get people to asking me questions about the class, you know what that means? They're interested. I just love it when at home Bible study or here in the church building, when people start asking me questions, whether I know the answer or not, it's nice to have the answer to the questions come in because you know that people are interested. All right, now Nicodemus has two questions. You know Jesus, with that verbal slap in the face, has his attention. Here's the two questions. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Now that has to do with the method of the new birth. What is this new birth you're talking about? How can somebody do that? So that's the method of the new birth. And the second question is, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What did he misunderstand? He misunderstood the nature of the new birth. He thought Jesus was talking about a physical new birth, and Jesus was not talking about that, but a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual new creation. So his two questions, one had to do with the how, the method of the new birth, and the other had to do with the nature of the new birth. And Jesus answers both of those questions in verses 5 through 8. And so what we need to understand is Jesus' answers in verses 5 through 8. The first question is, how can a man be born when he is old? Do you know that an old man can be born again? But how can an old man, or a young man either, or a young woman or an old woman, either one, all, how can we be born again? Well, Jesus answered that question in John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Before we look at the water and the Spirit, what does it mean to see the kingdom of God? It means to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus explained himself in John chapter 3, verse 5. So see the kingdom of God means to see it from the standpoint of experiencing citizenship in it, to enter the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. Of course, salvation's in the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and the Spirit. So let's look at that. What does it mean to be born of water and the Spirit? Well, first of all, what is the water of the new birth? Well, I've got a theory on that. My theory is that the water of the new birth is buttermilk. Keith, why do you say buttermilk? Well, that's just something I heard somebody else say. And by the way, that's where all those theories come from. Brother N.B. Hardiman, he was a preacher of the age of my grandparents. Somebody asked that question, what is the water of the new birth? And he said, it's buttermilk. And the person reacted, well, probably differently. You laughed because you knew I was joking. The person that asked him that was aghast. Why, Brother Hardiman, do you say it's buttermilk? And his reply was classic. Because if it's not water, you just make it anything you want to make it. And Brother Hardiman liked buttermilk, so he made it buttermilk. If it's not water, you make it anything you want to make it. What is the water of the new birth? By the way, it's water. The water of the new birth is H2O. It's water. That's all it is, just simple water. Well, what does water have to do with the new birth? Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Talking about our salvation, he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, John 3:5 is parallel to Titus 3:5. In John 3:5, Jesus said, you must be born of water and the Spirit. In Titus 3:5, Paul explained by saying, it's the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. The word regeneration means new birth. It's a washing of new birth. A washing in what? A washing in water. It's baptism, friends. In baptism, a washing in water, one is born of the water, and also he is born of the Spirit. We'll say more about that when we get to the part of the Spirit into the new birth. And so the new birth involves water baptism, a washing of new birth, a washing of regeneration. Or, as Paul also says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, for you are all children of God. Now, if someone's born again, what does that make him? Well, if someone's born to you, a child born to you, what does that make that child? You're a child, right? If someone is born again, born of God, what does that make him? It makes him a child of God. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For, how do you become? That word for is from the Greek word gar. It means because of this. How do you by faith become children of God? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. By faith, you're baptized into Christ. And when you do that, you're born of the water. You're born again. And you become a child of God. Well, what's the part of the Spirit in the new birth? In Romans chapter, remember, the new birth makes you a child of God. And by the new birth, you enter the kingdom of God and become a citizen of the kingdom of God. What's the part of the Spirit in the new birth? In Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. You must be led by the Spirit of God in order to become a child of God. Well, how does the Spirit of God lead us? Is it a better felt than told feeling? Is it a still small voice in the night? Well, the Lord spoke to me. And of course, when people think something, they say the Lord spoke to them and said that, and all that it was thinking in their mind. How does the Spirit lead us to be born again? 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 22 and 23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. What's the incorruptible? That is seed that does never decay. Of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The Spirit of God revealed the word of God. And when we are led by the word of God to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, we are born of water and the Spirit, and we become children of God, and we enter the kingdom of God, and we're saved and have the hope of life eternal. You know, there's nothing complicated about that. Nicodemus should have understood that explanation of the Lord. And certainly, since we have all of this apostolic explanation, we certainly ought to understand how to be born again. All right, so that answers the how, the method of the new birth. Now, the second question you will ask was, can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He misunderstood the nature of the new birth. And in verses 6 through 8, Jesus explains to Nicodemus the nature of the new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it and cannot tell where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone, I'll come back to that later, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. If a child is born to you physically, that's a physical birth, and that child becomes your child. But of course we know that that does not make him a child of God. The new birth is not physical in its nature. The new birth is spiritual in its nature. It involves not an outward change, but an inward change. As I've said a lot of times, I'm actually a whole lot uglier than I was when I was born again. It didn't make me a bit better looking. It didn't renew me physically outwardly, not a bit, but it renewed me inwardly. And that is what the new birth is. It is an inward renewal. It's a renewal of the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, that old man of sin, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Those who are outside of Christ are the old, have inwardly the old man of sin, and be renewed, notice carefully, in the spirit of your mind. When we are born again, the spirit of our mind, the inward man, is made anew. And what's the result? And that you put on the new man, which according to God is created in true righteousness and holiness. We inwardly, spiritually, are created anew in the likeness of God, in righteousness and true holiness. And then as Paul is pointing out here in Ephesians chapter 4, it is our obligation to live that way. And the part of man that is born again is like the wind. Now, notice carefully with me verses 7 and 8. Do not marvel that I said to you. Now, I want you to make sure I read this correctly. Follow carefully verses 7 and 8. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is the new birth. Is that what it says? But that's how people read it. The new birth is like the wind. It's better felt than told. You can't see the wind, and it's just something mysterious. That's not at all what Jesus said, and that's not at all what he meant. He expected Nicodemus to understand the new birth, and he expects us to understand the new birth. It's not the new birth. Look at it carefully, verse 8. It's not the new birth which is like the wind. It is the part of you that is born again which is like the wind. It's the spirit of man. Can you see your spirit? You can hear your spirit. You know you can hear your spirit? Why, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God no one knows but the Spirit of God. How do I know what Joe was thinking? How do I know what Mark is thinking? I can't read their mind. I can't see their spirit. I can't see their minds. But if they talk to me, they let me know what they're thinking. I know it by the sound. And that's how you know the spirits, by the sound. That's how you know the spirit. It's talking about the spirit. It's the spiritual part of man. It's your inward man. It's the spirit. It's not the new birth that is like the wind. It's the part of you that is born again, which is like the wind. You can hear the sound. The language that you speak comes from your spirit. It comes from your mind. And that's the part of you which is born again, which must be made anew. And when you go through the new birth, when your inward person is made anew, when you are born of water and the Spirit, when you allow the Spirit of God to lead you by the Word of God to be baptized water for the remission of your sins, and you're fashioned anew, then there are some spiritual changes that happen to you. You become a child of God and an heir of God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, not to our spirit, but with our spirit, that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit tells me what to do in order to be born again, be born of water and the Spirit. And my spirit says, I've done that. And I have the witness of the two spirits, the Holy Spirit and my spirit, that I'm a child of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. Or as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. See, here's the new earth. Has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for me, us who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I have four children. They are my heirs. Poor things. They inherit my debts. But if we've been born again, if we've been born of the water and the Spirit, we become children of God and we're heirs. What a better inheritance. We're heirs of God. We have a spiritual inheritance, and that spiritual inheritance is a home in heaven. So then, let's just summarize it all. You want to be saved, go to heaven? You have to be born again. You have to be born of water and the Spirit. If you want to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, if you want to be a child of God, if you want to go to heaven one day, you must be born of water and the Spirit. You must allow the Spirit of God to lead you through the Word of God, through the gospel, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, you're born again. You become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and a child of God and an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, with a home in heaven as your steadfast hope. So if you by faith be baptized in water today, there's water right back there. By the way, I can feel from right here that water's warm. If you be baptized today, then you have the hope of eternal life. You're a child of God. You're saved. You're on your road to heaven. Here's water. What keeps you from being baptized? You want to enter the kingdom of heaven? We invite you to do it now while together we stand and while we sing.